Okay, chevre, today I want to talk about the concept of how to not be enslaved to negative stuff, negative thoughts. But in order to get us there, I want to share with you a beautiful Dvar Torah from Rav Jonathan Sacks. It really blew my mind the first time I heard this, because it deals with a question which I always struggled with. And that's the question of, when the Jewish people are leaving Egypt, Hashem commands them to go to their neighbors and borrow stuff, which they're going to take with them, gold, silver, and they're going to leave Egypt. And I always felt this is kind of just weird, like, kind of deceptive, like, why is that so important? I actually plan on doing it at my Shabbos meal tonight. I'm going to go to my neighbors and ask them for stuff. It would be really funny. But, what's that about, you know? And to make the question even stronger, what ends up happening with all this gold and silver that the Jewish people take out of Egypt? What do they do with it? They ended up making some of it as a mishkan. Maybe that was the original intention, but they also make the golden calf. The Gemara in Bracha says that explicitly. They took the gold. They had all this gold. What are they going to do with it? They make a golden calf. So it doesn't even end up well, right? So why is it so important? And to make the strong question, mom is strong, this was originally part of the plan. If you look in chapter 3, right at the burning bush, God tells Moshe, and they're going to take stuff from the Egyptians. Like, that's really fundamental. Even if we go back to Brit Ben Amitarim, he tells Avraham Avinu, and they're going to go Beruchush Gadol, they're going to go with a lot of money. So you could say, he needed to fulfill the promise of Avraham Avinu that they would go out with a lot of money, and that's why they needed to take stuff. But still, the question remains, why was it so fundamental for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell the Jewish people that they have to leave with the Egyptians' stuff? It seems kind of weird. Yeah? You guys with me with the question? So this question bothered me for a long time, until I heard Rav Jonathan Sacks' beautiful answer. Jonathan Sacks says like this: you only understand the answer when you go later in the Torah to Dvarim, Sefer Dvarim, Perek Chaf Aleph. When you get up to the story of the slave, and the Jewish slave, when he leaves his Jewish master, you have a mitzvah. What do you have to give to the Jewish slave?
A gift.
You have to give him a gift. And why does it say you have to give him a gift? Because you were slaves in Egypt. The Torah itself connects slavery in Egypt to giving this gift to the Jewish slave. So what's a pshat? You have to give him this gift not because you could ever pay him back for all the years of work, but rather because you want him to leave with a feeling of shlemut, like we're chill, like he's no longer anger with you, and as that gift is kind of being so ger the inyan that, like, I'm good with you, I'm appreciative, I'm thankful, and therefore he is able to leave his slave mentality of being feeling indebted, angry at you or whatever, and feeling like, oh, we're cool, I can move on, yeah. So similarly, says Rav Sacks, when it comes to Mitzrayim, of course the Jewish people can never, you know, be mashlim. There was 400 years, 210 years, whatever, of slavery. But the act of taking that money out of their Egyptian slaves was meant to somehow psychologically close that hatred that they had in their hearts, feel like, yeah, we got them back real good, and allow them to move on. Which might be a motif throughout the plagues, the idea behind all the Asaros Makos. But that also explains why it was so important for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make sure that they had money when they were leaving, so they could feel like they're no longer enslaved to hatred and anger towards their former masters. You get it? Because as Jonathan Sacks writes so beautifully, if they're still hating their masters, then they're still really enslaved to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians still within them. And we know, of course, it was really a long journey before they can get the slavery outside of them. It's not so simple. But that's the reason why it was so important for them to leave with all this money. So we could now jump into the topic of how to leave anger and hatred. But there's a little problem. We've already talked about that. We've already done 2 shiurs about how to leave anger and hatred. So instead, I wanted to talk more broadly about something that we definitely need to stress over and over and over again, because this is like the fundamental key principle in life. Mamish is like the yisod to this whole course. Okay? And this is what many modern psychology books talk about. Also, I brought this book, which is like my favorite relationship book, but it's also just like great for life in general. George Bransky is also the founder of 3P, the form of modern psychology. And he talks about this a lot. Rabbi Nachman Mibrasov talks about this. Baal Shem Tov talks about this. Chassidus and psychology are on the same page when it comes to this idea. The idea is that how do we get rid of negative, angry, depressing, sad thoughts when we're in a sad place. The key is to recognize that thoughts are not us, that my emotions are not me. Rather, thoughts pass through my mind. Thoughts pass through, just like you can listen to a podcast and there's an interesting shear that you listen to. So too, all sorts of thoughts come through my head. Happy thoughts, sad thoughts, angry thoughts. And just recognizing that they're not me. They're just things that come through me, and then looking at them and saying, ah, interesting. Anger is passing through me right now, and giving it a name is one of the most fundamental things that a person can start doing to becoming a mature and happy human being. Okay? That is the key, to recognize that the thoughts I'm experiencing right now, they're just passing through because of the mood I'm in, and I'm going to think differently later. Okay? So many people have been ingrained that what I'm thinking is who I am, and it's like, and they make this whole long story, and that ends up enslaving us to this negative way of looking at life. Instead, we can recognize thoughts come through us, and then we can learn to program our brain to think more positively and happily. Okay, so let's concretely speak about how do we do that. Okay, yeah.
Does it go the other way also with simcha? Or
yeah, it's true. You could say, well, maybe my happy thoughts are also thoughts.
No, I'm saying, should you like also step out?
If your simcha is leading you to do negative things, then certainly. But if you feel like your simcha is leading you to do positive things, which I think is the case 95% of the time, then you should say, oh, I love this. It's leading. I should dwell in this. This should be my new home, right? If your simcha is leading you to do stupid things, then you may want to reanalyze it, you know, how deeply. But I think most of the time, simcha leads us towards good places, right? Towards dvekas, towards making our choice. So let's make a practical example. I'll bring an example from my life. Because like everyone here, I struggle with negativity. We're always going to struggle with negativity as long as we're alive. That's what human beings mean. Especially in this world, in this generation. I think that's our tikkun. That's what all the holy stories say. That's our tikkun is not physical pain. Our tikkun is emotional pain. So that's what our generation has to work on. So I got an email this week from someone. The details aren't so important. From a boss, whatever, wasn't happy. And it put me into a negative place. It put me into an angry or sad, you know, type of emotional place. What do I do with that? Where do I go? Okay? Where do I go? So many people, and they're not trained, will just go into that and be sad and be negative and start making dramas and, I hate that person, anger, right? And then what we'll often we try to do, a quick fix. How do I fix it? I'm going to write them back an email. I'm going to whatever, do this, I'm going to do that. All these different type of emotions would kind of overwhelm us. Okay? Now, what's the problem with these type of quick fix solutions?
They rarely fix anything.
Usually they backfire. The problem is that our mind is working in such a way that it's not very good. It's very blocked off from seeing the bigger picture, and it comes up with stupid solutions, and it can't see straight, and it projects, you know, different untruth, basically. Okay, so step one is to recognize, to look at it and say, I'm in anger right now. I'm in sadness. Just to look at it. And sometimes even just step into that and be like, wow, I'm really angry right now. I'm really angry. You don't even have to run away. Just like sit in that for a little bit. Because if you run away too fast, it's going to like come back at you. You know, like sometimes you have negative thoughts in davening. If you push it away too much, it'll come back. Just like look at it. Oh, look, I have negative thoughts. Interesting. Fascinating. I'm angry. Okay? Look at it like a doctor. Okay? That's step one. But that's really the key to everything. If you've mastered that, you're way ahead of most human beings. Because most people get in it. You're just looking at it. Okay? Step two. Recognize that I'm in a bad mood. And because I'm in a bad mood, don't do anything practical. Don't send that email. Right? Say if you come with an amazing solution to the problem, beautiful. But most of the time, you need to just realize nothing good is gonna come out of this. I'm in negative right now. I'm in a bad mood. And recognize how different our brain works when we're in a bad mood as opposed to a good mood. Everybody with me so far? Okay. Step three. Do practical actions that will make our brain not in this negative space.
Thank you, Pete. I'm sorry. I have to bounce. Awesome. Somebody. But thank you so much.
Awesome. Have an amazing day. So do practical actions which will take our brain away from this negative space. For example, if I want to go to bed, right? I go into bed and I do a physical action which tells my brain, oh, it's time to go to sleep. Right? And then even if it's any time, I can basically train my brain to it's time to sleep. If I stand up, my brain's not going to sleep. So my physical actions change my emotions. Okay, so let's ask, what physical actions can I do to get past this negative emotion?
Smile.
Okay, that's for sure. That can train your brain to be in a happier mood 100%. Okay, that's a great idea. Awesome, what else?
Breathing,
slowing down your breathing. I want to dwell on this for a second. We have two brains. This is the way that a lot of psychologists put it. We have our natural brain, which is the way that our brain has been programmed since we're a kid. Okay? And that breathes fast when we're in a bad mood and goes to these negative places. That's our home. What we're trying to do is get past our natural brain and go to the conscious brain and the one that we're directing. Okay? And breathing is a great way of taking control so that we can kind of show let and not be subjugated but be the master of our thoughts and our emotions. Because our emotions are just coming from our thoughts. Okay? Good.
So breathing. What else? What else can we do? Counting. Okay, good.
Breathing, counting.
Jumping up and down.
Exercise. We're going to dedicate a whole year to exercise. That's about the time. But exercising is an amazing, amazing tactic, especially outside, because it just watch yourself. When you go outside and you exercise, you feel much better automatically. So if you're on the bus, it's hard. But in general, exercising is an amazing tool to get yourself in a happy mood. It's momish magic. It works. Sometimes you can't. Maybe you're in the middle of shiur or whatever. But as soon as you can to exercise as much as possible, 100% awesome idea. What else? What else can you do to train your brain to get out of the negativity? So journaling helps for a lot of people, writing it down, even the negative, just getting it off your chest, but not in a way that's going to hurt.
Music,
distracting yourself, right? Listening to an iPhone, listening to a shiur, listening to something, even a funny video, something productive, not something negative, but distracting your mind so it doesn't just go into this of negativity, right? All these are excellent ideas to get your thoughts to not dwell in this negative spin, okay? Again, it's so important to realize that our thoughts and our emotions, they're not real. It's like you're watching a movie. It's like they're just coming through us, but they're going to go away soon, right? Something that I try to do sometimes is I meditate. I close my eyes and I meditate. What do I meditate? I meditate about this particular time when I went to the Kotel and I danced like crazy. And I made myself happy. Why was that a particularly powerful experience for me? Because I was in a really bad mood on Erev Shabbat going to the Kotel. And then I kind of forced myself out of that bad mood into this happy mood. And literally a half hour after, from this terrible place, I was in this awesome place, dancing with Birthright kids at the Kotel. So that's like a picture I have in my head of wow, you can actually go from a negative place to a happy place very quickly. It's just a matter of time, of doing the right actions, okay? And another good trick that you can do is ask yourself better questions. A lot of times when we go into this negative space, we're like, oh, this is a bad thing here. I'm going to get fired. I'm going to be in this shit forever. I'm never going to have a girlfriend. This, and then, right? Ask yourself and just like, is that really true? Like, maybe I can learn from this experience. Like, what can I learn from this experience? How can I become a better person from the experience? And just like, wow, think about the fact that in the past, I've had negative experiences and the next morning I felt fine. You know? Just meditate upon that fact that right now it's bad, but it's going to be better. That's just the nature of life. It's bad, it's going to be better. Okay, my final piece of advice, this really, really, really works, is daven. Pray to Hashem. Nothing really works without tefillah. Hashem runs the world. But in addition to that, on a psychological level, you're training your brain to go from a place of hopelessness to a place of hopefulness. And to literally physically say the words if you can. If not, just think it. Please Hashem, I want to have emunah. I want to be a positive person. I want to be a happy person. I want to be a thankful person. I want to be in the place of negativity. I want to be in a place of positivity, of happiness. That's how I serve you best. So I don't know why you're giving me this nisayon, but I know it's all for the best, Hashem. Just reach out to Hashem. Just keep talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just do that, and you'll be Zerat Hashem, slowly bring yourself out of it. Another good trick that I do sometimes, similar, is I have these great podcasts from Daily Emunah, but they have like a million different cute positivity podcasts. And just listen to it instead of letting your brain go into negative places. Like, put on the podcast and like distract yourself from that negative place. Okay, so Bezrat Hashem, we've seen a lot of tips today of when you're in that place of negativity, how to not dwell in it, how to look at it in the eyes, and how to get out of it through actions like tefillah, like journaling, like exercise. Bezrat Hashem, next time or in the next couple of times, we're also going to have to talk about not what you do when you're in the negative, when you're battling itself, but actions that you can do when you're in a good place, right? When you're in a happy mood after the shiur and you're just walking to the shuk. How do we train our subconscious, program our subconscious to be a positive and to naturally look for the good and actually naturally go to a happy place and thereby not have to battle so much in the negative. Okay, but my homework for you guys is that the next time you're in a negative place, and it will happen, okay? That's okay, because human beings, you're angry, you're sad, blah, blah, blah. Just look at it. Just be aware, be more aware of the fact that these negative thoughts are going through you, and just watch your thoughts and try to practice one of the things that we suggested today. Meditation, exercise, emunah, tefillah, okay, whatever one of these, speaks to you, maybe a bunch of them speak to you, and try to exercise that the next time you're in a negative place. And next week, Bezrat Hashem, if you guys come back, let me know how it went. And if you had a more positive experience from the from that negative place, Hashem should bless us to take the darkness of Yitzhak, of Mitzrayim, of the Choshech, of the Machos Bechoros, and transform it into the light. That's the purpose. That's why our neshamas really came into the world. That's our tikkun, to take the negative and make it light. Not just to always be in the light, but to mamish transform the darkness into the light.
Oh,
please, Hashem, help us to do that. To be not a hypocrite. Does anyone want to say a baruch al-chreina?
David Lipschitz.
David Lipschitz, gewalt. Awesome. Then we can sing in the